Good morning. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. I'm going to have the reading this morning from a good portion of chapter 11 and a little bit in chapter 12. I'm not intentionally not wearing a tie this morning, but with Devin out of town and me being colorblind, I couldn't remember which tie went with his shirt. So rather than embarrass myself, I thought I'd just offer an explanation and embarrass myself that way too. I've been teaching through Matthew in my Sunday morning class upstairs here, and last week we came to chapter 11, and as we were going through that, kind of an overview fashion, I got to the end and was really struck as I was teaching about what Jesus says about coming to him at the end of the chapter, and about how his yoke is easy and his burden is light and so on. And so I resolved then that I wanted to try to put together a lesson on that idea. And of course, what Jesus is doing is he's presenting himself as an option against the option of the Pharisees and the religious leaders and all of those who would actually be burdensome in place of what he offers. And he tries to show that his way is simple. His way is easy. His way is non-burdensome. His way is focused on simply providing access to God. And at the end of the day, what else do we need? We don't need the ridiculous interpretations of the Pharisees. We don't need the all the different rules and traditions that they've created and so on. And Jesus says, just come to me. My yoke is easy and I will give you rest. And so for those of us this morning who are feeling weary or burdened down, for whatever the case may be, whether it's having a hard time in our Christian lives, whether it's outside things that are stressing us, whatever the case is, Jesus says, if you need rest, I will give it to you. Just come to me. And so this morning, that's going to be what we look at. I'm actually going to read chapter 11, verses 1 through 19, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 25 and read through chapter 12, verse 14. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women there has not yet risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." Verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Jesus answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, God, again at this time that we have this time and we have your word that we can open before us really at any time, but especially as we gather to worship you and remember your son Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for our sins. And we're thankful, God, that in your word we have teaching and commandments and examples that we can look to understand more clearly how to live before you. I pray, God, that we would be encouraged this morning as we think about what Jesus taught and exemplified here, that we would see that you call us to come to him and to lay our burdens down, to let go of the weary ways that we try to live our own lives and to find peace and security and rest in him. Help us, God, to not only find that rest for ourselves, but to be people who encourage others to find that rest in Jesus as well. God, if there's any of us here this morning who may be those that actively put heavier burdens on people than what they need, I pray, God, that you would instruct those of us who do those things, teach us that we're actually standing in the way of that person having a relationship with you, and help us to find ways of encouraging them to find their rest in Jesus. We thank you, God, that we have access to you because of Jesus. We thank you that he was obedient in all ways and in all things, so that he was willing to die on a cross for our sins so that we could receive forgiveness of sins and we could live forever with you. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, the reason I read into chapter 12 is because I want us to see that blazing contrast between what Jesus said and then what actually happened next. Because Jesus says, as he's talking throughout the context of chapter 11, that he's looking at the types of responses that he's receiving to himself. And he's seeing that people are having a hard time understanding him. And he's realizing that he was out in some of the most important towns and villages and cities, and he was doing most of his miracles there, and yet those people were not responsive to him at all. In fact, they rejected him. And Jesus, as he goes about in his ministry, has a lot of rejection happening to him. But he stops at the end, and he talks about how he can reveal the Father through him, and the Father can reveal who Jesus is. And he says, people that come to me will see that, and he offers them an invitation to drop what they're doing, to drop what they're thinking, to let go of their hostility, to let go of their burdens, to let go of the things that make them weary, and just to come to him. Without strings attached, without conditions, to do it simply and with trust, to come to him. And he teaches that, and the very next thing that we see is yet again a massive amount of discouragement. Because Jesus goes out and they're minding their own, him and his disciples are out minding their own business. And apparently they've got a group of Pharisees following them. And we know from the story that we just read that the Pharisees accused the disciples of doing something that was unlawful on the Sabbath. And yet we have an interesting contrast there where the Pharisees are out in some kind of a gang following Jesus and his disciples around on a Sabbath, obviously just looking for something that they could cause a problem with. And so they call out the disciples for doing something that was unlawful on the Sabbath. And what they were calling them out for was not the fact that they were eating grain that didn't belong to them, but they were calling them out for harvesting something on the Sabbath. The disciples were only doing that because they were hungry. But the Pharisees wanted to try to trap Jesus and his followers on some point of law. And so they said, look, the disciples are doing something that is unlawful. And Jesus resolves that by basically pointing to them that they should be more focused on compassion and more focused on trying to help others through the commands of God than trying to enforce these types of commands upon people that were going to create more burdens for them. The disciples were hungry, and the Pharisees' result, or the Pharisees' answer to them was basically, it doesn't matter how hungry you are, there's nothing that you can do about that because you're going to be in violation of the law to do what you're doing. And Jesus says, you've got it backwards. If you want to focus on what God's really interested in, you need to focus on how you can be compassionate towards them and how you can serve them. When it drops down to the second story where he has more conflict with them, he goes into a synagogue, and it's still on a Sabbath. And there's a man in there with a shriveled hand. And the text actually tells us that now the Pharisees are looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, and so they try to set him up. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus has already told them, you should be about compassion first. And don't let any of these so-called commands or rules supersede the need to be compassionate to people. And Jesus says, are you kidding me? You're going to show more importance to a sheep, he says, than to this poor man. Because if any of you has a sheep that goes and falls into a pit on a Sabbath, we all know full well that you're going to go in there and work to pull it out. And so Jesus says, yes, it's lawful to do good on a Sabbath. And he takes away that technical point of whether or not a healing or something like that was lawful. He says it's lawful to do good. And then he signs off on all of these things by saying, and I'm Lord of the Sabbath. So Jesus puts himself above these types of rules or commands that others can use to put burdens on people. And Jesus says that his interpretation means more than anybody else's interpretation. And so if Jesus says compassion and doing good first, that's the rule that we ought to live by. And that's what it means when he talks about come to me. How many of us have gone through periods of discouragement and disillusionment in our faith? Maybe even in our church lives, in our Christian lives. Sometimes we can go to a church for years and never really feel connected, and never really feel like we fit in, and never really feel like we're dialed in there. And anything that can come up that might cause disillusionment or distraction, it comes in and it can weigh on us. And if you've ever experienced that, you know what that feels like. I've talked about this example before, but for me it was so pivotal in my life as a teenager in the church where I was growing up, where the minister was, I was really close to him. And for whatever reason, a bunch of people, it was a group, it's always a small group in a church that didn't like the guy, and they were bent on driving him out of town. And me and a few others, we had a really, really hard time with that because we liked the guy. He spent time with us. We viewed him as a mentor. His lessons were good. We were friends with his son. And we couldn't understand why that would be happening to him. And one day he took me out for breakfast, and he sat and we talked for a long time about what was happening. It was clear he was going to be leaving at that point, and a bunch of us were really upset about that. And he said, it doesn't matter what happens to me or to anybody else, you have to keep following Jesus first. And he put that priority on not being discouraged, not being disillusioned, but remembering who I was, whose I was, and what I needed to do. I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about coming to him. He's drawing a contrast between the yoke that he offers and the yoke that the Pharisees offer. The Pharisees, as made clear in the two stories that we read here, were focused on trapping Jesus and bringing charges against Jesus. And then later they go out and plot how they can kill Jesus. And any of us who have been around the faith for any period of time realize that some people have a vested interest in killing our faith for their own purposes. And it's so important and imperative that we keep our focus on what Jesus said. We let all of those things go, and we realize that we don't have to be subject to the burdens of others and to the desires that they want to place upon us. We only have to be focused on Jesus. and coming to Him and finding our rest in Him. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what others, even in the church, think about us if we're not focused on Jesus. If we let that emphasis on Jesus go, we've lost everything. And that's why when we look at this passage, when we go back to chapter 11, we can see the things that Jesus is addressing. He's addressing the uncertainty that they had. John the Baptist himself, he's in jail. He's in jail because of his faith in Jesus, but he sends his disciples to go ask Jesus himself, "Are you the one who was to come?" John's experiencing uncertainty about whether he was on the right path himself or not. He wasn't sure. And it represents for us sometimes the questions that we have about our own faith. And that uncertainty creates anxiety for us, and it creates doubt, and it creates tension for us, and we're not sure what to do with that. And in verses 7 through 15, Jesus is talking to the crowd about their response to John the Baptist and the discouragement that they saw because they understood that one was coming ahead of the Messiah to preach and proclaim about the Messiah, but they couldn't accept John. That's why Jesus says, what did you go out to see? A reed swaying in the wind? You went out to see somebody with no backbone who's going to tell you what you wanted to hear? You went out to see somebody that was so self-important that he wore robes like this? No, you went out to see a prophet, but you didn't accept him as a prophet, even though Scripture testified about that. And for us, sometimes we read the Bible, or we sit in a class, or we listen to a sermon, and we have questions about what it is that we're reading, and we think, if I can't piece it all together myself right now, maybe God's upset. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not doing enough. And we get discouraged. And these feelings of anxiety and uncertainty and discouragement weigh on us, and they create burdens. Sometimes we feel guilt. In verses 16 through 24, Jesus is talking about the people that rejected him. And the first thing he says is, what is this generation like? You're like people that don't even understand the kind of music that you're listening to. Because we played a pipe for you, and you should have been rejoicing and dancing in the streets, but you stood there and did nothing. So we sang a funeral dirge, and you should have mourned, but you got up and started dancing with excitement. You're not acting the way that you should. When all of these things are put before you, when the plan of God comes to fulfillment in front of your own eyes, when the way to God is made clear, when God's plan of salvation and what he wants for his church is laid right out in Scripture, right in front of our eyes, you're not doing what you ought to be doing. And for us, when we realize the times that we fall short in these things, if we're not careful, some of us become overwhelmed with guilt. Rather than simply resolving that I'm going to do better, like Paul said in Philippians, I'm going to forget the past, strain ahead into the future, we dwell on the guilt that we feel that we dropped the ball, that maybe we're not good enough after all, that maybe because we weren't able to get on board, God's going to be unhappy with us. And maybe in the worst of circumstances, absolutely worst of circumstances, some people even question their salvation over these things. These are burdens that all of us carry at different times. And I haven't even talked about the burden where somebody else tells us, this is what you have to be doing as a Christian, and if you're not, you're letting God down. That's the burden of the Pharisees themselves. When we think like this, we really, really struggle with our faith and with our ability to grow and develop in our faith, because we're focused on the things that we're not doing that we think we ought to be doing. And we're focused on all the ways that we're being displeasing towards God rather than realizing how pleasing we are to God already because of Jesus. I loved the reading Brian had at the beginning of his table talk, because all that did was remind us of exactly whose we are. And all that Jesus is and all that God has done for us through him was right there in that reading. That's all we need to focus on. When Jesus says, come to me, it's all right there. We get bogged down with these burdens that we carry around, And what Jesus says in chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 is, it's time for you to lay your burdens down. Just let them go and come to me. That's why chapter 11 is filled with all these negative responses to Jesus, and then chapter 12 begins with conflict. Because he's showing us in the middle of all those things, in the middle of these burdens that we can carry, he's available to us. He's there. He's ready. He's waiting. All he needs, all he wants, is for us to come to him. And so that's what he says. Come to me. That's the only command that he gives here initially. There's no qualification on that. There's nothing else that they have to do. There's no get things in order first and then come to me. There's no make sure you've signed off on somebody else's doctrinal flow chart and then come to me. There's no make sure you have everything else lined up first and you could pass a test on the Bible and get 85% or higher and then come to me. He just says, come to me if you are weary and burdened. The only condition in coming to him, really if it's even a condition, is that we feel the weariness and burdens of the struggles that we have with faith and the burdens that other people put upon us. The only thing he says is, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many of us want that rest? How many of us want to lay those burdens down? How many of us want to have the weight released from the burdens that we carry, but we just don't know how? But Jesus tells us, come to me, and I will give you rest. He doesn't condition that. He doesn't qualify it. He says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If he says, learn from me, we have room to grow. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to never sin or make a mistake or fall back into carrying one of these burdens again, because we're learning. And that's why he says, take my yoke. He's the only one we can trust when it comes down to it. His way, his guidance, his leadership over us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's twice now he's mentioned rest. If we want that rest, there's only one place we can find it. There's only one person that we can find that rest in. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what Jesus says. This is not testimony about Jesus from somebody else. This is not Paul reflecting years later on what he thinks Jesus meant for the church. This is Jesus himself saying, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You will find rest for your souls if you come to me. If any of us are feeling weary, if any of us are feeling that we're carrying the weight of countless burdens, we can solve that problem. We have to realize, for those of us who are already Christians, that Jesus does not want us carrying those burdens around. He does not want those obstructions being in the way of simply coming to him, and he calls us to lay them down. We're weary, we're burdened, go to him. For those of us who are not yet Christians, the same message applies. The same thing. We're still carrying around weight. For those of us who are not yet Christians, the weight of sin is a heavy one. We don't always acknowledge it to ourselves, but it's there when we stop and think about it in the darkness of the night. We know that that weight is there. And Jesus says, come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. And in that, we can find the message of salvation, that when we go to Jesus and we're baptized into his name, we receive that forgiveness of sins forever. That weight's gone. That burden's gone. So for any of us here this morning who are feeling that, feeling any kind of burden, any kind of weight, what would it be like for you to let those burdens go? What would it be like for you to take Jesus at face value and to say, I'm going to go to him? I'm not going to have someone else try to sign off on this for me. I'm not going to keep dwelling on the past. I'm not going to keep thinking about how to get out from underneath this on my own. I'm going to go to Jesus. Because he said, come to me, and I will give you rest. Let's be those that focus on the rest that Jesus gives to us, following him in simplicity and with trust, not dwelling on the past, but focusing on the future, focusing on being followers of Jesus who go out and encourage one another, build one another up, helping them to find the same rest that we experience in our own lives. If anybody's here and needs to respond to the message this morning, we encourage you to do so by coming forward at this time as we stand and sing.